What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go! Our numero dos of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. You can text us on that same number, 844-326-3663. You can shoot me an email, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. You can shoot us a tweet if you wish to do so, @TheRobBrownShow. You can shoot Lonzo a tweet if you wish to, @LonzoOnWord. You can get it, everybody, at the station, at the Fan Upstate. Got a busy hour for you coming up. We have got the water cooler cheat sheet in this segment of the show. Ordinarily, we do our Swamp Rabbits segment today at 8:40, but the fellas got practice today. So we'll have Kyle Mountain, the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us coming up in the next segment of the radio program. We'll talk to Kyle Mountain about where the Bunnies are at this point in the season, getting 2025 underway. Then Denton Day, the coach. Sure, why not? The coach of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime will join us to wrap up this hour of the show. Third hour of the show, we're going to talk a lot of college football, including the addition of Tom Allen to the Clemson's defensive coordinator spot. Got that coming up for you in the next hour of the show, as well as give you a few more early thoughts on Ohio State Notre Dame in the national championship game next Monday. We'll have a full breakdown of that game certainly on Friday, obviously. And then the rest of the show belongs to you.
We have to have it on Friday because we will not be here on Monday.
That is correct. That is correct. I should have clarified that. I did not. We are here, not here on Monday. We may do a little national championship game live stream on Monday. I'm not gonna ask Zoe to do that. I'm gonna offer it because obviously
it's called a day off.
It is a day off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's that.
But I'm always like in for the grind.
2 days off in a row, something that you and I don't normally get.
That's so true.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, for me, sitting down in a chair talking college football, that's not work. That's part of it. But Zoe's team is in the Natty. So I'm not going to say, hey, I need you to throw away whatever pregame festivities and traditions you may have.
I am getting two new tires Monday, so it depends on what time you want to do this.
Big day.
And I'm going to be pretty depressed for most of the day after getting the new tires. So, because they cost a lot of money.
Oh, for sure. Tires ain't cheap, man.
You don't think about that when you get a smart car, but it is hard to find tires for a smart car.
You got a smart car?
Yeah, you know.
You drive one of those little toaster ovens?
Absolutely. You should see me squeeze in there. It requires oil.
I was going to say, you have to butter up the sides of the doors a little bit, dude, get a running start.
I prefer baby oil, but you know. It's a lovely scent on my drive home.
Oh, man. Little nothing a little Crisco can't solve for the great one as he gets into his summer, rolling toaster oven.
During the summer, you don't want to use Crisco because, I mean, you know, you might get a little cooked. You don't want that to happen.
It is 7:04 in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. You have less than 56 minutes until you got to get the old bootay into the seat at the office. Pop off a reply to all those emails that you ignored that came in after 5 p.m. yesterday. And then take your first break of the day. And when you do take your first break of the day, you're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to head on over to the water cooler. You're going to spend a few minutes talking sports with your coworkers, and you got to know what's going on if you're going to make that happen. And that, dear friends, is why you need this. It's the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know. Brought to you every morning at 7 a.m., sponsored by Lonza. Let's go ahead and dive right in, ladies and gentlemen, with item number one. The college basketball for you to start off the water cooler cheat sheet. The Clemson Tigers get a win last night. They're 14th on the season with a 70-59 win on the road over Georgia Tech. We talked a little bit about this with John Blau back on Monday's edition of the show. And we both agree this had to be a statement game for the Clemson Tigers. It needed to be a game that they put out there that, hey, it turns out we are legit. They had the loss to Louisville. They had the loss to South Carolina. But they've stacked up some wins against unranked teams in the middle. They got a win over Wake Forest. They got a win over Stanford. They got a win over Cal. They dropped one by 10 on the road at a good, not great, but good Louisville team. They come back. They beat Florida State at the crib by 20. But this time it was go on the road. Show us after your road loss to Louisville, your road loss in Columbia, your last two road games, both L's. Show us you can play outside of Little John and play well. And I think Clemson did that last night with a 70-59 win over Georgia Tech. Now, it wasn't just the 11-point win. It was also the numbers behind that win. 21 for Jaden Zachary, 16 for Ian Shefflin. Those two led scorers for Clemson. He got 14 out of Chase Hunter as well. Clemson shot 44% from the floor, 35% from range, knocked down 16 of their 20 free throw efforts. But this game was won on the defensive side of the basketball court. Two of Georgia Tech's five starters failed to reach double digits. And on top of that, the rec was held to 35% shooting from the floor, 35% shooting from range. They were awarded 19 free throws, knocked down 14 of them. But when it came to field goals, Clemson made life very difficult for the Yellow Jackets. Packed in the paint, utilize their strengths, which is a little bit of size, a little bit of mass. You got to throw them big masses around inside the paint, and Clemson did just that to disrupt the Yellow Jacket offense. So that leaves Clemson sitting at 14-4 on the season. They are now, as of that win, 6-1 in the conference. That is good for second in the conference. The only team above them are the 7-0 Duke Blue Devils. They are tied with Louisville for second with a 6-1 record. And again, you're looking at a team that had a loss at Boise State. That's probably one they want back. They had a loss against a good Memphis team, not the end of the world. They had a loss at South Carolina, which now that we are a handful of weeks removed from that game, probably another one that you want back. Although, I'd say take a sleep on South Carolina. Don't panic just yet. All right, that's a good Southeastern Conference and a young South Carolina team looking to replace a couple of big names across their starting five. So not an awful loss. That loss against Louisville is certainly one that they'll want back as well. But you have won two in a row convincingly since then, including a road contest. Now the question mark. with a few days off before you're on the road up at Pitt on the 18th, can you now string back-to-back roadies together? That's going to be the next big question. Let's get to item number two. The NFL coaching wagon is going to be a frequent item on the water cooler cheat sheet over the next couple of weeks as we find out who's going where, when, and why. One guy that swears he ain't moving now, however, is Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since the loss by the Steelers in round one, a one-and-done exit from the playoffs for the fifth consecutive time, somebody said yesterday, and I've got to go find out if this is true. The Pittsburgh Steelers haven't won a playoff game, if I recall correctly. The Pittsburgh Steelers haven't won a playoff game since back in 2017 when they knocked off the Chiefs 18-16 in the divisional round. I believe Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback. Wasn't that Ben's last year or second to last year? I believe that was the last win. They haven't won a playoff game since Ben left.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they've won any since he's left, so yeah. It would have to have been him.
So one and done again, and the conversations started floating around about, is it time? Is it time for the Steelers to make a move? Is it time for them to move on from Mike Tomlin? Tomlin said when asked yesterday if any teams should consider inquiring about a trade to pick up the longtime Pittsburgh head coach, and I quote, save your time, end quote. He said, quote, I understand the nature of what it is that we do, the attention and criticism that comes with it. As a matter of fact, I embrace it, to be quite honest with you. I enjoy the urgency that comes with what I do and what we do. I don't make excuses for failure. I own it, but I also feel like I'm capable. And so long as I'm afforded an opportunity to do that, I will continue. But I certainly understand their frustrations. And probably more importantly than that, I share them because that's how I'm wired, end quote. When asked about another first-round exit, he said, quote, I don't view it as misfortune, to be quite honest with you, particularly at this level in the business and the game. There's football justice. You get what you deserve, and so we are here, and we're here for really tangible reasons. We didn't involve in the right ways. We didn't strike the right chords at the right time, particularly down the stretch, end quote. He basically levied all of the football coach cliches, but Mike Tomlin says that as of right now, he does not plan on leaving. He has not been told that he is leaving. He has not been told that he is up on the trade block, as has been the question mark since this past weekend. We will find out, and that is going to be, I think, the next big domino to fall. Does the ownership group of the Pittsburgh Steelers come out and say, hey, look, here's where we are. Here's where we got to go. Or is Mike Tomlin the head coach of, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys next year? We'll find out. We'll keep an eye on that for you. All right, item number three. You knew this was going to be it. It had to be. The 54-year-old Tom Allen had his contract approved yesterday by Clemson's Board of Trustees, a three-year deal to step into the program as the defensive coordinator. He is Dabo's fourth defensive coordinator hire and is tasked to revive Clemson's defense after a poor showing in 2024, including 292 rushing yards given up to the Texas Longhorns, who turned around and had less than 60 in round number two of the playoffs. Dabo Swinney said in a press release from the school yesterday, quote, we've got a great football coach and a great leader of men coming to Clemson. He brings a ton of experience and was highly recommended by some of the best people in the business. He is obviously coming off of a great year as the defensive coordinator at Penn State, and we're excited to welcome him as our defensive coordinator here at Clemson. Penn State, of course, boasted a top 10 defense nationally under Tom Allen. They were number 8 in scoring defense, surrendering just 16.5 points per game. Number 7 in total defense, averaging less than 295 yards surrendered per game in FBS. Perhaps the most significant, Penn State 9th against the run, allowing less than 102 rushing yards per game. 10 games, Penn State held opponents to under 14 points. It also forced at least 2 turnovers in 9 games, which helped lead the Penn State run to the semifinals. Tom Allen has also been coaching since 1992. He has had head coach and defensive coordinator stints in Florida and Indiana from the high school all the way up to the collegiate level, including some time as the head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers. He was elevated from D.C. to H.C. there, has jumped around at a couple of other schools as well, including Ole Miss, South Florida, and obviously Indiana. But the most interesting thing about this, Allen's base defense is a 4-2-5 nickel defense. That is something that Clemson ran quite a bit last season and in years gone prior. But what makes this interesting is that Tom Allen regularly has one edge rusher standing up as opposed to hands in the dirt. What does that do? That allows you to disguise whether he is going to be an attacker or a drop back defender. Is he going to come off the edge and go get the quarterback, or is he going to fall back into coverage? It allows you to some degree to kind of disguise where you are. It allows you to kind of disguise what you're going to do. Is this an extra defender? Is this an extra blitzer? Is he going to be in zone man? Is he going to cover up the tight end? It's a way to run your base, but keep a question mark floating in the eyes of the quarterback until that defender does what he's going to do. And that takes a half a second, a full second off the processing time of the quarterback. We'll see how that plays out.
Jacob on the stream's asking the same question I was getting ready to ask. Why would he take the same position at Clemson than he has at Penn State?
The obvious answer is, and we don't know this because they have not disclosed the financial terms yet, more money would be my first guess. My second guess would be this. Penn State is for sure a nationally recognized program. I got to think, if I'm Tom Allen, I've built that defense up. We had a top 10 defense last year. The big complaint about Clemson last year was the defense stinks. The defense is no good. Wes Goodwin's no good. The defense is no good. If Tom Allen shows up, Lonzo, and let's say Clemson ends up next year with a top 15, top 10 defense, Tom Allen's a head coach the next year. That's my guess. My guess is Tom Allen, who was a head coach in Indiana, a program that, and some would argue still to this day, ain't a football program. It's a football program. Ain't a football school. They're not pouring their resources into Hoosier football. My bet is Tom Allen, I don't know this. I have nothing to lean this on. It's just my own guess. My bet is Tom Allen thinks, hey, if I show up and we ball out Clemson defensively, I'm a head coach again.
All right. All the things you said make sense. And if you throw, he just wants to go where it's warm in there too, possibly that might factor in.
Hell yeah. Get up out of Happy Valley. That might be it, too.
I think the majority of the places you said he worked at was cold.
He was at Ole Miss for a couple of years, and he was at South Florida for a couple of years.
All right, so he's working his way back down.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Is this a step down for him?
Penn State just played for a semifinal. Clemson was in the playoff, though. So is it a step down? Yeah, but I'd say it's like stepping off of a curb, not falling off of a cliff, right? Okay. And again, if he shows up at Clemson and the defense next year goes back to be, and by the way, the defensive personnel roster for Clemson's pretty good. It's pretty good. So if he takes a pretty good group of talent and elevates them to being a top 10 defense once again, I think Tom Allen's going back to being a head coach sooner rather than later. Just my speculation. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joins us next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. The Fan Upstate, Rob Lonzo, you. And now, joining us on the radio broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, he is the head coach of your, my, our Greenville Swamp Rabbits, the hockey team in the upstate. He is the head coach, Kyle Mountain, joining us here on the show. Coach, my man, welcome back. Good to have you, brother. How are we feeling?
Good. I was waiting for the goal horn. That was nice. That was very well done. So, yeah, I'm good. All good here.
Coach,
thanks for having me.
Accountability and coachability are the two most important abilities. You asked for it. You get it. I follow instructions. We're good here, man.
I love it. Really setting the tone.
Here we go. All right, let's talk a little hockey here, Coach. And I want to take you back to the rollover, the end of 2024. A couple of losses to Jacksonville, an unfortunate loss on New Year's Eve. Then we turn around, roll the calendar over into January, start with back-to-back five-goal wins over Orlando and Jacksonville. Turn around and give those both back on the road on the 7th and 8th. Feels to me like this team is absolutely up and down. And obviously you've got to deal with players getting called up to Ontario and sent back down, new guys rotating in to fill in the roster spots, etc. Just kind of walk me through the ups and downs of the last couple of weeks for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits.
Yeah, definitely, you know, fair assessment as far as just kind of where we're at. And, you know, I think for right now, our group, the goal is just to find our stride and find our consistency. We've certainly shown that we can play at a really high level. You know, we can be really competitive and beat anybody, you know, in our division, in our league. You know, so finding that consistency has been kind of the goal here. And so it was good to start that road trip on a really good foot, get some really good road wins, you know, against good teams in tough buildings, hard places to play. So, yeah. And look, I mean, it's like you said, there's a lot of variability. There's a lot of things that change on a day-to-day basis. So, obviously, you know, for us as a staff, keeps us on our toes for sure, keeps the players on their toes. And, you know, ultimately, every team kind of goes through that in one way or another. So whether it's injuries, whether it's call-ups, whatever it might be, you know, every team's got their things that they have to deal with. So for us, it's just being able, regardless of kind of, you know, circumstances, what's going on with our roster, anything like that, we still need to, you know, be able to show up and play a certain way, you know, when the time calls for it. So I think for us, just finding that consistency, finding that rhythm is really the goal now. And once we hit that, we're going to be in really good shape.
Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan upstate. How do you find that stride, Coach? I mean, listen, I don't think it's any shock that some of the boys in the locker room are probably a little bit disappointed with some of the results that we found. And it's obviously your job as the head coach to be able to walk them through that, keep the head screwed on the right way, and looking forward. Still a lot of hockey. We just crossed the halfway point. A lot of hockey left to be played. How are those conversations going to make sure that the guys that are on the roster, especially the ones that are going to be sticking with you for the majority of the games, kind of keep pushing forward for better results moving forward?
Yeah, I think, to not lose sight of kind of the end goal, not get too caught up in the day-to-day or a result on, a particular game. Like, I think you've got to just keep that big picture in mind of how do we continue to play better and better hockey as the year goes on. So, you can play great and lose. You can play poorly and win. So I don't think it's wise to get too caught up in kind of the short term or certain, results from a game. So for us, it's just maintaining our focus day to day. What do we have to accomplish on a daily basis? What do we need to bring to the rink every single day in order to ensure that, February, March, April, we are playing our best hockey? And so I think, for the guys, obviously that's challenging. These guys are competitive. They want to win. We all want to win. So there are disappointments. But again, you can't let that detract from what you're trying to do in the big picture. So I think, we're going to just continue to build. And that comes individually with guys, and that comes collectively as a team. So working with each guy on what they need to do to continue to improve, continue to develop. And then as the team, from the team perspective, it's just how do we keep climbing? How do we keep continuing to just build this, so that we're playing, come playoff time, we want to be playing our best hockey. So I think it's just maintaining that focus, and making sure that we, we don't get too caught up or too emotional, too frustrated when things don't go our way. It's just, continue to keep our heads down and go to work every day.
Obviously, Coach, this level of hockey is designed as much to be about player development and progression as it is to be about wins and losses and playoff appearances and Kelly Cups and whatnot. How are you balancing that right now between making sure you are giving the guys that need ice time to get better and sharpen the skills, but also make sure that Greenville, South Carolina is seeing some dubs go up on the board?
Yeah, I think that's always a balance that you have to find, that you have to try to strike. And so a lot of that development work, outside the games, I mean, it's kind of how we build our practices, how we build our training every single day. So I think that, regardless of what a game might bring you in terms of personnel and how you're using guys and what situations you're putting guys in, we really try to utilize every minute that we have, during practice and during training to keep on guys as far as their development. So there's a lot of ways outside just playing, in the games that guys can get to work and get a lot done, be it in practice, individual work, video meetings, things like that, and off-ice training. So we try to be as comprehensive as possible in our approach so that, we want guys the opportunity to go play and, grow through game experience, but there's a lot of other tools that we can use as well. So I think just trying to take advantage of all those opportunities and make sure we're, getting as in-depth as we need to with each guy and not leaving any stone unturned when it comes to them developing and getting better. So we really try to just hit it from all sides and make sure guys are getting what they need in terms of growth and development.
When this team, which we've seen, kind of off and on throughout the season, Coach, goes on these little streaks, string together 3, 4, 5 wins here, put together 2, 3 losses there. How do you, as the head coach, maintain consistency but still tinker with the lineups, tinker with ice time, tinker with different shifts and rotations and whatnot? Is there a formula to that for you, or is this something that you're kind of feeling out player by player based on who's feeling hot and who's not? How do you handle those little strategy changes based on the runs of success or failure that the team is having?
Yeah, it's definitely a feel. There's no kind of one method or, one kind of trick to cure it. It's certainly game by game. It's day by day. And I've got a really good staff and support system around me, and we spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out, what levers do you pull and what changes do you make? And, who's really playing well and, what guys are not quite where they need to be and what do we need to do to get them there? Those are always, those are daily conversations that we have. So, when it's going good, when you have momentum, you just want to fight as hard as you can to keep it, and continue on that trend. end. And then when it's not, you've got to reevaluate a little bit and not necessarily overhaul everything, but, you know, what little changes do we need to make? And sometimes it's, you know, it is a personnel thing. Sometimes it's, you know, how we build our practices. Sometimes it's, you know, what area of focus are we currently on right now, and do we need to change that? You know, so I think that all those questions are fair questions on a daily basis. And so it's just trying to figure out, you know, the best method. And then, you know, the ideal situation is that you do make a couple tweaks, it clicks, and then, you know, you kind of get that momentum back. So, you know, it's always just kind of that, you know, ability to reevaluate and adapt to a current situation. And I think, you know, the ability to do that will allow you to kind of get out of those situations where things aren't going quite the way you want them to. You can make a couple changes here and there, and then, you know, kind of get back on track.
Adaptability, Coach, is another one of those abilities that we were talking about earlier in the show, and you guys had to adapt a little bit. Was supposed to be a three-game homestand this past weekend, but the winter weather rolling through on Friday evening postponed the Friday and Saturday night game, so it ended up being a one-game stand on Sunday. You play again back at the house on Friday night against South Carolina, then two on the road against Atlanta and South Carolina. Kind of wrinkle in the plans, probably not the worst thing in the world to have a couple of days off while you are at home in Greenville, but what was that process like, especially when we all kind of got the news in the 11th hour these games were being postponed? What went into that for you? How did you as a head coach handle that? How did the team handle it moving into a Friday nighter against South Carolina coming off a Sunday game that had two games postponed right ahead of it?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Yeah, and obviously we talked kind of throughout that entire day, just you know, talking with our team president Tim Vieira, and just you know, trying to weigh kind of the different options and you know, what was coming as far as the storm, and obviously a lot of things to consider: the road team travel, fan travel, you know, arena employees, and you know, obviously weighing those risks of having them travel. So ultimately, I think, you know, the right decision was made with kind of pushing those games. And yeah, for us as a team, I mean, we were coming off of a long week-long road trip, and you know, we were looking kind of down the barrel of a 5-6, which is very challenging for any team, you know, just in terms of the fatigue factor. So, you know, I do think ultimately it wasn't the worst thing in the world to get a couple days, like you said, to reset, and, you know, guys were back sleeping in their own beds and just being able to recover a little bit from a road trip. So, yeah, I mean, look, you just have to, like you said, just stay on your toes and adapt when needed. You know, so I think the organization did a great job of, you know, kind of making adjustments needed, you know, filling in the schedule and, you know, postponing those dates to get, or those games to dates that, you know, I think will really work out for them and getting some more home games on the schedule, you know, later in the season. But yeah, ultimately it's just, hey, you got to keep moving. And, you know, this was the plan, and sometimes, you know, things change. So the guys were great. You know, they had no issue with the adjustments, you know, that were made, and, you know, I think ultimately is for the best.
Friday nighter, Coach, against South Carolina, big rival for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And I know that, you know, listen, we're all fans. We all want to see dubs, even if there is a little bit of a hiccup in the schedule, as there was. How important is it for the boys, for the team, to have a full Bonsecours Wellness Arena on a Friday night when the South Carolina Stingrays come a-calling?
It's huge. I mean, like, especially down the stretch here, you know, like you said, we're just about getting to the halfway point. So, you know, the further you get into the season, just the more important every single point is. And, you know, anytime, you know, you've got a division opponent coming into the building, you know, those are huge opportunities for us as a team. And we feed so much off the energy of the building and the fans and just the, you know, the overall noise and just the energy that they bring. So, it should be a fun one. I mean, Friday night at the Well is always, you know, the guys are always getting up for games like that. So I think we're excited to be back home again. We had a long road trip, the one game back home Sunday. But I think, you know, this Friday night after a full week of practice and kind of, you know, resetting and just getting into our routine for the week, it should be a really fun game, and the guys are going to be ready to go.
The Greenville Swamp Rabbits find themselves 10 points back behind South Carolina. Some ground to make up and an opportunity to do so this Friday at 7:05 at the Bonsecours Wellness Arena when the cross-state rival come a-calling. Coach Kyle Mountain joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Coach, my man, as always, appreciate the time. We will see you at the Well Friday night. Good luck, my man.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime. Head coach Kyle Mountain of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. When we come back, the host of SiriusXM's College Football overtime. Denton Day will join the show. We'll talk about the semis. We'll talk about the natty. We'll talk about the 2024-25 season as a whole. Coming up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Yo, welcome back, Rob Brown.
Yo,
I said what I said. I was dropping bars, as the kids say.
You were?
Because I'm still hip, cool, and got it. Riz, swag, aura. This
too old,
guy.
Too old to say those words. Too old.
This guy. If Tiger Woods isn't too old to say it, I'm not too old to say it. All right?
Tiger Woods is kind of cool, though. I'm just saying.
So am I. My hat's backwards. I'm definition of cool.
Okay.
You know who else is cool? That's an excellent segue. I'm very good at radioing. The host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime and maybe the stinkinest genius of all the stinking geniuses when it comes to talking football live in Washington, D.C. is Denton Day. What's up, big fella?
Fellas, how we doing? Rob, I don't know that you've mentioned this yet, so I will. Lonzo, I like your shirt. I have that symbol tattooed on me, so big fan of that.
Oh.
Now we got to know where, I guess. Do you?
It's on the arm.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
I can show you. I have a whole Batman sleeve.
Oh, he's getting.
Hey, wait, you have a whole Batman right sleeve?
Now. He's getting
what
right.
Howard Stern did late, right? Yeah, we got the whole like Batman situation going
check
on.
Check that out!
Wow.
Nice. There.
Nice.
Yeah, that hurt, but it was worth it.
That is levels of intense I was unprepared for in this moment, Denton Day.
Yeah, it took like, it was multiple sessions. That shirt's not going back on. It took 11 hours
in total. I don't think I'm committed to anything that much. Well done.
Yeah, after the first five-hour session, I was ready to fight everybody in the studio. I would have lost terribly, but I was just so mad at the world.
That's fair. You know, I have tattoos. Deck has tattoos. And as I informed you during the break, soon Hayton Ass Mario is going to be joining the ranks of tatted BetQL members.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want to allude to that because I didn't know how secretive that actually was.
But oh, he knows it's coming. He just doesn't know when. Considering we're turning this into a spectator sport, Denton Day, and you're in D.C., you might as well come on down and just join the party in the studio that day. It's going to be a ball.
All I got to do is walk down a flight of stairs, and I'm there.
Done and done. All right, big fella. Let's talk a little college footy. Let's go back in time to start this thing to our two semifinal games. And start with this. Listen, I expected Ohio State and their semifinal game to win, and I thought it was going to be close. I got to tell you, I think Steve Sarkisian and the coaching staff at Texas kind of screwed the pooch. The pressure cooker got really cranked up at the end of the game, and I think it got a little sideways. I think Ohio State was just a better team at the end of the night, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're the best team in college football right now. I do think that Texas is front five and front four on both offense and defense did a very good job until the very end, at least on the offensive line. But I thought their defensive line did a really good job. At the very least, it did kind of humanize Ohio State. They were clearly still better, and they are still better, and they're way better than Notre Dame. But it did at least show that they were human, right? Like, not, I don't know, beatable is probably not the right word, because it never felt like Texas actually had a chance at any point in that game. All they were doing was throwing wheel routes, and apparently Ohio State didn't know how to stop those. But once they stopped doing that, they stopped scoring points. But it did look like that Ohio State was not as far and away as good as we thought, but yet they're still way better than Notre Dame, because Notre Dame is worse than Texas. I think if Texas and Notre Dame played, Texas would beat them by at least a score.
I don't disagree with that at all. As far as Ohio State goes in this one, I mean, I've given Chip Kelly a ton of credit for the play calling, for opening it up, for kind of catering to Will Howard to some degree. I think the Ohio State coaching staff, and I don't know if this was a result of the loss to Michigan and they figured it out, or they just were trying to prove a point or what, but the play calling and the coaching from Ohio State has been on a different level in these playoffs, and I think the results of that are showing up in, say, Will Howard's passing numbers.
They were just in their head against Michigan. Yeah, that's one of those things where you talk about this all the time. When a quarterback starts to push a little too hard and they start to make mistakes, it felt like as an organization they were pushing too hard against Michigan because they understood what the pushback would be if they lost that one. Well, now they've experienced the pushback and they're playing in a national championship and they realize, all right, maybe there are some things, you know, I love rivalries as much as anybody does in college football, but there are some things that can kind of make up for that. And winning a national championship is one of those. So I think they've kind of gotten back onto the path where they need to be. And you're right. You know, Chip Kelly looks like a genius. He left UCLA. I don't know that anybody questioned it, so to speak. It made sense. Hey, he just wants to go coach football, do what he is actually, you know, his passion is. Well, now that's all he's doing. He doesn't worry about NIL. He sure as hell ain't going into home of recruits on a regular basis. He just gets to coach, and you're seeing that in real time. They got a lot of talent around him, certainly, but he's kind of, we're just seeing the best version, I think, of Chip Kelly and his offense.
On the flip side, Penn State, Notre Dame, Denton Day, here's my hot take. I think Penn State was a better football team, and I think they changed their entire defensive philosophy in the second half, and that's what allowed Notre Dame ended up with, what was it, 70 yards of offense in the half one and then 261 yards of offense, which was like 8 off the total yardage allowed on a per-game basis by Penn State all year long. I feel like for whatever reason, and you can blame it on James Franklin, you can blame it on whoever you want to blame it on. We can blame it on Tom Allen, who I want to ask you about in a minute because he's the new DC here at Clemson. But it felt to me like the defensive philosophy of Penn State, for whatever reason, shifted in the second half. They stopped dancing with the girl that brought them, and it came back and bit them on the ass.
It definitely did, but I think that was more in part to their offense. You know, Drew Aller didn't play well, and my mentions have been blowing up this week, Rob, because I've been critical of Drew Aller. I like him. I want to see him play well, but we're also now 2 years into his career waiting for the Drew Aller game. You had an opportunity against Notre Dame. It felt like you were the much more talented football team, and nothing really came of it. He missed a lot of throws. Like, you go back and you watch some of those, you're like, oh my God, like, how did you miss these ones? And you're leaving points on the board, points that you needed to win that football game. I was really displeased with the way that he played. I thought that was an opportunity for him to go out there and win a big time football game, help his coach out a little bit, help his coaches out a little bit, because as you mentioned, the defense did kind of lax a little bit. But I really, if you would have presented me with a list of opportunities, Rob, or a list of situations on how we would feel after that game, at no point would I would have thought that Riley Leonard being the better quarterback was the one that we are going to get that reality. But it is what happened. He got hurt. He got banged up. He came back in. I was like, is Marcus Freeman sure he wants to do this? And the answer was yes, because whatever they did to him, they knocked a screw right. You know, really, he's knocking a screw loose. They knocked a screw right, and Riley Leonard became the guy that they thought he was going to be.
I don't disagree with that. I do think, again, had Penn State kept the pressure up. Listen, this is kind of one of those times that I go, offense, defense, two different units. You've got to play them what they do, and I feel like Penn State pulled off. But either way, Notre Dame 27-24, and now we've got our Monday Night Natty, Ohio State taking on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Look, this game sets up real easy for me. If Ohio State sets the edge and does not allow Riley Leonard to beat him with the legs. Listen, we're going to give you a base defense in the second half of the football field. If you beat us with your arm, you beat us with your arm. We're not going to let you beat us with your legs and open up the field for you. If Ohio State puts that much pressure on the edge and keeps Riley Leonard contained, I think Ohio State wins this game, and frankly, pretty comfortably.
I agree with that. If I'm Ohio State, if I'm Jim Knowles, for two possessions, literally only two, all you need to do is two. For two possessions, I'm playing nothing but man defense, and I'm blitzing the lights out of Riley Leonard. And by that point, you're probably up 14-0. And once you go up 14-0, any hope of Notre Dame running the football is completely out the window. All you got to do it for two possessions. The minute Ohio State gets up two scores, the game is effectively over, unless Will Howard throws it away, unless Travion Henderson fumbles it away, Quichad Judkins, whoever it is. When they go up multiple scores, Notre Dame does not have the offensive firepower to be able to withstand that, especially against a team that has the most offensive firepower in college football.
I just look at the situation. And listen, I like Riley Leonard. Seems like a good dude, more than decent quarterback. I just think he's one of those cats that the threat of his ability to run is what opens up the football field. There's a lot of spies, which means you're pulling a guy out of coverage, which means you've either got to play a man or you're playing a lot of, say, single high, lower zone. And I think that that is ultimately what's given this team success. I think if you prevent Riley Leonard from really ever getting going with the legs, I don't know that he's even going to be more than average against a set defense on the outside, especially if I'm playing a press. On the flip side, Notre Dame runs a ton of press. I think they run like man press on 60% of their defensive snaps. I got news for you. Ohio State's got better wide receivers than anybody Notre Dame's played and a couple of All-American running backs. I'm not concerned about Ohio State putting up points. They're going to. I'm just concerned about their ability to stop Leonard, and I just feel like you blow up the pocket and making them uncomfortable, and that's going to be pretty easy.
And to your point on the Notre Dame defense, I fully understand identity, right? You're so far into the season. Do you really want to make massive adjustments to how you approach games and what your defensive philosophy is? Generally speaking, no is the answer to that question, Rob. But for this matchup, yes. If you go one-on-one, I don't like take your pick. If you go one-on-one with Jeremiah Smith or Mbeka Mbuka, dog, you're in trouble. Like you gotta have help over the top in some capacity. You gotta play maybe a little bit more laxed on the press stuff and play a little bit more zone to force Will Howard to throw into windows that are a little bit tighter than normal. You gotta do something, because if you're just gonna 1v1 those dudes, you're gonna lose. And it's gonna be very, very bloody.
We are talking to Denton Day, the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime here on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan Upstate. Denton Day, one more before we let you sneak back off to your real grown-up adult responsible life. Tom Allen leaves Penn State as the defensive coordinator to come fill the same role at Clemson. Number one, your thoughts on Tom Allen and the hire. And number two, just out of curiosity, we had a listener ask us earlier, why would he leave Penn State for a lateral transition to Clemson? What are your thoughts on that?
So I like Tom Allen a lot. You know, I worked on Big Ten Radio for a number of years, Rob, and he was very frequent on the channel when he was the head coach at Indiana. He would come on, he would hang out with us. He's a great dude. He's a really, really, like, you want to talk about salt to the earth. That is Tom Allen. I hope you guys down there, I know we're not supposed to bring up religion, I hope you like church, because the pressers between him and Dabo Sweeney are basically going to turn into sermons. That's why he went there. It's because Dabo Sweeney is who Dabo Sweeney is. And I never got full confirmation on this, Rob, but I did hear through a little birdie, hear through the grapevine and the rumor mill, when the job came open at Liberty, when Hugh Freeze left, Tom Allen, who was the sitting head coach at Indiana, at the very least, reportedly reached out. Now, you want to talk about a step down. I love my alma mater, but you want to talk about a step down. Indiana and the Big Ten to Liberty is a massive step in the backward direction, but he really liked the culture of what Liberty was. That's why he makes this move. And I don't know what James Franklin is about personally. I don't know what the area of Penn State is like. I've never been there, but I know what Dabo is about. So he makes that move because he wants to coach with Dabo Sweeney and because he likes the model that Dabo Sweeney has built and the person that Dabo Sweeney is, and he feels like he can be successful there. He's also getting paid a lot, and I'm sure the money in South Carolina goes maybe a little bit further than it does in Pennsylvania.
Perhaps. We'll find out. Denton Day is the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. Joins us on Wednesdays. My guy, as always, appreciate you coming by. Next Wednesday, we'll have a national champion to talk about, fella.
I can't wait. I know it's going to be Ohio State. So, Lonzo, you're going to be a happy man.
I'm still nervous, but we'll see.
That's fair. Does it kind of take the wind out of the sails a little bit, an 8.5-point spread, and we all think a cover's in play?
Maybe a little bit. I just hope it's better than Georgia TCU. As long as it's a better game than that, we'll be okay.
I'm not against that. Denton Day, you can find him on X at the Denton Day. My man, thank you as always, brother. Talk to you next week, pal.
See you, fellas.
You got it. Denton Day from SiriusXM's College Football Overtime joins us every Wednesday at 7:40 to talk college footy. Now to talk the biggest news stories of the day is the Dan Rather of sports flashes, Lonzo.
No.
What do you mean no?
Because to be Dan Rather, I'd have to have courage. The Clemson men's basketball team earned their 14th win with a 70-59 win over Georgia Tech last night. The Tigers were led by Jaden Zachary's 21 points, 6 boards, and 3 steals. Tigers had only 2 points off the bench in the win. South Carolina Gamecocks basketball team is back in action tonight at Vanderbilt, trying to end a 3-game losing streak to the 3 consecutive top 25 teams, including a 2-point heartbreaker against now number 1 Auburn. The game will tip at 6 p.m. on the SEC Network. Trae Young led the Atlanta Hawks to a 122-117 win over Phoenix last night with 43 points, all done without DeAndre Hunter, Larry Nance Jr., and Jalen Johnson. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. It's Furman versus ETSU right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.